I want you to also realize that in dealing with the enemy, we face a powerful army whose goal is to defeat Christ's church. But Jesus counters all of this with these reassuring words: I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But friends, here's our problem. Ever since the fall, we have been creatures that have been pulled towards this physical world. We've been focused on our senses, what we can see and feel and hear and taste and smell. However, when we deal with the enemy, we need to set aside that worldly wisdom and embrace what God says about the spiritual realm. You say, Pastor Colin, why is this so important? Because our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Sometimes I wish it was. It's not against human beings. It's not against personalities. But it's against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Wow. This tells us that Satan makes many direct assaults upon us through various mediums. And of course, I'm not talking about the troubles that we experience that we deliberately bring upon ourselves through our sinful ways. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Rather, I'm referring to the spiritual and physical attacks of the evil one that he makes upon our minds and our bodies, of which we must take serious account. And so you say, how do we do this? Especially knowing that these are unforeseen forces that we're up against. Well, Bible commentator Kent Hughes once said this, and I quote, "Satan has no conscience, no compassion, no remorse, no morals. He feeds on pain and anguish and filth." Friends, it's a reminder as to who we are up against. And this is why we're commanded to put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And if you don't remember anything else, please understand that it is God's armor that enables us to be able to stand firm or to stand our ground. The Greek word for stand, histemi, simply means this: hold your ground. And Paul's thinking here implies a strength that comes from divine truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and the assurance of salvation. And when you put all of this together, the result is a stability of character and confidence that enables us to be able to weather any storm that comes our way. Now, I want you to notice that Paul does not command us to invade a foreign territory. Because, of course, when we think of the traditional military warfare, we think of soldiers marching against the enemy. But with spiritual warfare, we're not commanded to march, but simply to stand. And sometimes this sounds as if it's so wimpy, so something that doesn't make our cause any better. But it also tells us that the ground disputed by the enemy is really God's ground, and it's therefore ours. So we do not struggle to gain a foothold. Rather, we need to be reminded that our weapons are mainly defensive and not offensive. And so we don't have to fight to obtain that ground, but simply to keep it, to secure it, to maintain it. I want you to recall with me that it was Jesus who did the offensive warfare on the cross, and he won that battle for us over 2,000 years ago. And through the resurrection, God proclaimed his son victor over the whole realm of darkness. And the ground that Christ won was given over to us. So today, glory to God, we war against Satan only to maintain and consolidate the victory which Christ has already gained for us. We don't fight to obtain ground, but we merely hold it against all the challengers. And here's the reason why. In Christ, we are already conquerors. As a matter of fact, Paul tells us in Romans 8 and 37, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. But friends, be reminded today that all of this only applies to us as we first accept that invitation to sit in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus, to accept Jesus Christ into our lives, to allow him to be the one that, so to speak, calls the shots on how we live. And consequently, once we have sat in the heavenlies, we gain strength to walk, and then ultimately we're able to stand against the enemy. This is why Satan's primary object is not just to get us to sin, but simply to make it so easy for us to do so by luring us off of the ground that God has procured for us and pulling us into his dark territory. So how do we respond to that? We hold our God-given ground. We hold it firmly. I want you to also notice that both in verses 11 and 13, Paul reiterates again that in order to take advantage of the strength of God's might, a believer must put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God so that we'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now, if I were you at this point, I may be asking, so Pastor Colin, what is it about this armor of God that we actually need to know and we need to put on? Well, I'm glad you asked, because the armor of God consists of at least six important pieces of spiritual equipment. And we're going to get dressed up in that equipment the next time we look at this word of God. But for now, I want you to understand this. Unlike military gear, putting on the full armor of God is not something that we put on and take off occasionally, but something that we put on permanently. This is the first obvious effect or reason for wearing God's armor. It is the God type of armor that enables us to stand firm in spiritual victory. Sure, we understand that the enemy is fearless, but please remember also that we are protected by God's power. We have no reason to be nervous about the temptations that the enemy bring our way. 1 Peter 5 and 8 reminds us that the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But when we resist him, and here's the key, with God's strength, he flees our presence like a scared cat. Another effect of wearing the armor of God is that it gives us the ability to discern the devil's schemes. And the Greek word translated for schemes is stated here in the plural, indicating that Satan has numerous devices in his arsenal for undermining our spiritual progress. And so because of this, he can identify, he can target, he can exploit our weaknesses before we're even aware of them ourselves. Now that's scary. But again, here's the great news. Having God's armor certainly helps us and protects us from the devastating assaults of the enemy. A third effect of wearing the armor of God is that we will be ready for anything that comes our way. Paul says we'll be able to resist him when the day of evil comes. And the phrase, the evil day, probably refers to both a general spiritual oppression in our present time and special attacks by wicked spirits against us. Therefore, as believers, we must be prepared at all time for unexpected spiritual battles. Here's one of the spiritual battles of all battles. Isn't it interesting that both at the beginning and at the end of Jesus' ministry, Satan besieged him? Both in the wilderness and in the Garden of Gethsemane, Satan tried his best to see if he can get Jesus off track. But he failed to tempt Jesus to sin. And I want you to notice this. After failing in his attempts in the wilderness, the scripture says, Satan left him for a more opportune time. And if the enemy did that to Jesus, do you think he's going to be any easier on us? But these two accounts teach us that the battle may not become easier as we grow in obedience to God. As a matter of fact, Satan may intensify his efforts against us especially as he notices that we are sold out for God. And so as believers, as we grow stronger, we need to be careful not to be naive about the enemy's schemes, and that we can even expect to receive more attacks. But God gives us the power and the strength to be able to counter them. Now notice the last part of verse 13. It simply says this: and after you have done everything to stand. Wow. After you've done everything to stand. Now, what do you think constitutes everything? In a military sense, standing is holding a critical position while under attack. And interestingly enough, it's the same from a spiritual perspective. It is telling us that after we have prayed, after we fasted, feasted on the word of God, shared our struggle with our prayer warriors, ask our pastors to pray for us, after we've done everything we know we need to do, Paul says, stand. He says, don't relent. Don't be lured away. Hold your God-given ground. It's one of those sure commands that will help us to remain standing after the attack has occurred. And so that's all we're called to do, to stand on God-given ground. And folks, let me just say this. At NPC, we are in a season of pastoral transition. And I know because of our new way of worship, because we can visit two or three different services every Sunday, the temptation may be there for us to begin looking for greener pastures. But I want to thank you today that here at NPC, there's been a faithfulness that I've come to really appreciate. That you have decided to be loyal to your church, loyal to your tithing and offerings and the whole works. And I want to commend you for that. This is not a time to be lured away in another direction, but to stand on the God-given place, principle, values that God has given to you. So what can we take away from all of this today? Now, while these verses give us some insights into Satan's diabolical plan, I believe more importantly, we've also learned of God's indispensable protection. So permit me to share at least three principles concerning spiritual warfare that we need to firmly establish in our lives. The first one is simply this: no satanic assault is stronger than God. Let me say that again. No satanic assault is stronger than God. In other words, we cannot get away with the lousy excuse that says, Satan made me do it. Oh no, not at all, friends. Satan is neither to be trifled with nor to be overrated. And while his forces may be powerful, God's protection is ever so much more powerful. What we need to do and what we need to be honest with ourselves about is that we do not try to resist Satan in our strength. That's not a wise thing to do. Rather, we need to be reminded of the fact that greater is he that is within us than he that's within the world. And once we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us and have experienced new birth through grace, we're equipped by God who is stronger than all spiritual enemies. So no satanic assault is stronger than God. Secondly, no satanic scheme can penetrate God's armor. None. And next week, we're going to take a closer look at this and find out the significance and importance of being dressed up in those six crucial pieces of spiritual armor. Because we know that without that protection, we're exposed to every assault, every arrow, every bombardment from the enemy. But once we're born again to a living hope, we're protected by God's power through faith. The third principle I'd like to leave with you is simply this: no satanic evil can prevail over God's church. All glory to God. This is what Jesus meant when he said, I will build my church. It's not ours, it's his. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is what he had in mind. And as a member of this glorious church, remember, like Job, that nothing can be inflicted upon us that God does not permit. Reminds me of 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, which simply says this, "For God is able, who will not permit us to be tested or tempted in any manner, but rather with the temptation will provide a way of escape that we can bear up under it." I find this very comforting. So that when we begin to think that our battle is too fierce, that the enemy is bombarding us on every side, we need to remind ourselves that God never gives us more to bear than we're able with. And so here's a question for us today. As a believer, are you leaning on your own temporal defenses? Have you been trying to ward off Satan's schemes in your own strength and in your own righteous works? If so, you may be setting yourself up for a defeat if you haven't already experienced it. Instead, you need to surrender yourself to God, for He alone is our advocate, our defender. Friends, let me close with this last thought. There has been an underlying message throughout these last three messages that I've shared with you, and it's simply this. We can't do Christianity alone. We weren't meant to. Just as the Holy Spirit dwells within each of us individually, similarly, He also dwells within the gathered community. And this is why we long to be able to get back to a physical place where we can worship together under one roof and encourage each other and spur on each other to good works. However, in that new normal, we may find that doing church in a building might be quite different from the way we did it in times past. Nonetheless, we look forward to this. We look forward to the time when we can come back together and enjoy each other's company. Because this type of community checks us against getting spiritually careless. And it reminds us instead that the most effective way to be prepared for a spiritual attack is to stand firm in the protection of God. That's it, friends. And so I close with this question. Where are you in your spiritual progress today? Are you sitting in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus, having just surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Are you at the place where you're beginning to walk worthy of your vocation? Or have you already experienced that the enemy wants to bombard you and to move you from that God-given ground that God has given to you? Wherever you are, please remember that your strength is in God. And so you need to stand firm. Shall we pray? Father, in the precious name of Jesus, thanks for the word. Thanks for the reminder as to how you want us to progress in our spiritual development. Thanks for inviting us to sit in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. And while there, thank you for giving us the spiritual nurture and strength that we need so that we can walk worthy of our vocation. And then as the enemy decides that he's going to bombard us, God, you have gone ahead of us. You've secured that spot for us. And you've told us that we need to just hold our ground. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for those who have logged into this service today. You know specifically where they are in their relationship with you. Whether in a backslidden condition, whether they have not yet come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or whether they're even being bombarded right now by an enemy. In Jesus' precious name, I pray for the strength that only comes from you, God, to be able to equip each one of them so that they will know that they're not alone in this spiritual walk. So, Father, thanks in advance for coming alongside each one of us and helping us at this very special time in our relationship with you. And Father, as we go into this new week, we go with an assurance that you've gone ahead of us. You've already made our way clear of all danger seen and unseen, and we will stand firm on the promises that you've given to us. And we can do all of this because of what your Son has procured for us on Calvary's cross. And we claim this in the powerful name of Jesus with much thanksgiving. Amen.